Hi, my name is Jeremy Fales, and with womensfitcamp.com, and you're listening to episode 33 of Stuttering in School.
The open mic podcast for people who stutter, just like me. Hi, my name is Daniela Rossi, and I am a lifelong stutterer. And this podcast is all about stuttering and inviting stutterers to submit audio so they could hear each other stutter and not feel like you're the only one in the world with this experience. This podcast is also open to people who don't stutter and just are interested and curious about stuttering. Despite all the advancements in modern medicine and knowledge, stuttering is still a mysterious thing. So together, let's figure out how we can live through this stuttering thing that we have.
Hi, Danny. I'd just like to say you got a great website. It's very informative and very amusing. It'd be good if you mentioned some of the therapies that are available out there, such as the Maguire program, which I can wholeheartedly endorse because it has helped me a great deal with my speech. It enables people to articulate their voice and their feelings in a very organized but sensible manner, so people don't sound robotic or they just sound like regular people. So thanks again for your great website, and hope to read more soon. Bye for now.
Hey man, you know what is cool? Okay, this is Vinit here from India. And well, you know what is cool? It's great that there's so many websites out there. Not so many, but I know quite a few websites which are so amazing. And they actually deal with stuttering. And that's the best, man. Let me tell you. You know, because there's so many people out there who stutter. And we can connect through the internet. And that's the best. Anyway, and well, I was like a pretty, I can't say severe, but a moderate stutter when I was a kid. And I never used to stutter with my parents or something, but with my friends and with in school, etc. I used to stutter. Now I'm 20 years old, and now I still do stutter, but it's actually a lot lesser than what it was before. I don't know how, I mean, just like, I used to go for speech therapy, but that never really worked that way well for me, but I don't really use any, I don't know, therapy methods, but one thing that has helped me a lot is to be comfortable with my speech, is to let others know that I stutter, advertising my stuttering, and I have also been trying some voluntary stuttering. So maybe I just put up voluntary stuttering in my speech. You know, I feel like if I stutter, why not put in voluntary stuttering at least? Because, you know, I don't stutter when I'm talking to myself or when I'm alone, like, or in most situations when I'm comfortable right now, like right now. So yeah, and good job, man. Good job that you kept all the blogs. I mean, they're all very good. What else do I say? I mean, okay, I'm doing my undergraduate in computer science, and yeah, we know that Joe Biden has become the vice president of America now. He's gonna become rather, and that's so cool. I'm so happy for Joe Biden and the stuttering community. I mean, the fact that he used to stutter as a child, you know, and he has become a vice president, that shows us that we can become anything that we want to become. And of course, we have a lot of inspirational people. Okay, bye-bye for now.
I'm in my car right now on my way to the gym, which is in relation to my next interview that I'm going to play right now.
I am a registered dietitian and I'm a fitness trainer. And so what I do is I run women's only fitness boot camps. And with that, they're targeted for fat loss and also see clients for nutrition for weight loss too. So that's what I'm doing as far as my brick and mortar business, and I'm dabbling in the online arena too, as far as health and fitness. So.
Okay. So it's going to be inevitable that we will spend a bit of time talking about fitness, and since I'm also a fitness buff as well. But let's first begin by talking about stuttering, since this is what this podcast is about. Let's begin by talking about your stuttering in relation to your job, because I imagine that you do a lot of talking in your work.
Yeah, that's for me, and it varies at different times as far as, because I have my good days and bad days, but as far as answering the phone, for right now, that's pretty good. I'm pretty comfortable with that. For me, calling other businesses or trying to promote myself is a bit harder, and so I do practice a lot before the phone calls, but it's just a lot of times I'll get up there and I'll just do it, because I found in my experience, the more I think about it, the more anxiety that builds up. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so if I get in there and just do it, I may have more, blocks or stuttering and all that, but it would probably be less than what it would be if I sit there and I try to practice it, hundreds and tons of times, because I've done that before, and I've actually practiced 20 minutes before a phone call, and it would actually, go through every variation of like what I could say and how I can say it, but when I got on the phone, and it would be perfect, by myself, it'd be great. Get on the phone call and it just goes, it's just like I didn't practice any. So it's, I don't want to be negative about it and say that, but I'm just saying sometimes it's just a matter of just, to do practicing, but maybe just not worry so much about it. Yes. I think that is the key, is placing so much stress on yourself to where you create failure. You create what you fear the most. You fear stuttering, and I forget whoever said this, whatever we resist, persist. And so if we resist and stuttering, that's what's going to happen. We were setting ourselves up. We think about it all the time, and that's what happens. So,
exactly,
and then also, as far as one of the things that helped me with my stuttering in the last several months is advertising stuttering, advertising my stuttering to my clients. And I don't particularly like telling them on the phone, although they may, they're probably going to hear some of it on the phone. But I'll tell them in person and just trying to make them feel comfortable, and letting them know that I'm comfortable with myself too, and that I let them know what's going on, so they don't think, okay, what's wrong? They may not be aware of stuttering. They may not know what's going on. So you're telling them, okay, hey, I'm a stutterer. I'm okay with it. I just want to let you know, so you know what's going on. And and a lot of times they're like, okay, so what? They're there to help lose weight. They're there for me to help them get in better shape. And if anything, what I've seen from working in the hospital as a dietitian to see my clients now, you gain some empathy, because you're not perfect. Okay, no one is perfect, but. Yeah. They see you as, okay, hey, here's his weakness. You're being vulnerable, and they relate to that. So, so I kind of use it as being vulnerable as a strength. I used to think, hey, I can't hide it. I can't hide, if you have something that's wrong, I mean, if you want to try to hide stuff, people have their weaknesses all the time and they try to hide them. Being a stutterer, you can't really hide it. So you have to be out there. You have to just just look at it in a different way.
Yeah, that's I feel the same way. There were a few years ago that I was thinking of going back to speech therapy, and long story short, it just turned out I'm going, I stutter anyway. I know people can tell, and all that. So that's how the whole my whole road to being accepting of it began. Now back to your story about how you practice before talking on the phone to business associates and such. I do the same thing in my job, but what I do is I write what I'm going to say down first and then rehearse after that. Do you do the same thing? Do you write down first, or are you practicing your speech?
I'll actually do lots of vocal warm ups and. I'll actually write it down, and sometimes it just depends. I may do an outline because I don't like to. It just becomes tedious if you're writing down everything that you're going to say. I mean, that can become very time consuming, and it takes so much. And in a sense, I'm sort of a little bit rebellious. To do it, because it's like, why do I have to work so hard at trying to get everything just right? Why did I have to? And so sometimes I just don't. I may do an outline. I've actually used to write down everything I was going to say, but now I've kind of went to an outline and things that I really want to get across, and that's helped more so because. You're not locked in to say the exact same words. Because I know that if you were reading it off, and if you skipped a few words or something, then your mind would think, oh, I skipped those words. They don't know that you skipped those words, but you're thinking, oh, I skipped those words. True. Oh, I messed up already. Mm-hmm. And then that in turn is like, oh, then you get a little bit, okay, I messed up. And then you start thinking, oh, I messed up. And so now – they start to stutter. And so in a sense, you may end up creating obstacles in yourself by overanalyzing or overworking it.
I stand corrected. But that's very great advice for getting over the phone call.
Well,
go on.
Well, I didn't know that I was going to be, getting on to you. Like,
oh, no. No. Me, I am open to all suggestions, recommendations, methods, and such. After all, this is what this podcast is about. It's the open forum for scouters to share techniques and, like the real practical advice that really we don't get in speech therapy, right? Because speech therapy is all about techniques and such, but in the real world, sometimes they don't seem to, compatible. Like, they're not really compatible, I guess,
Or you don't think about using them in a high-stress speaking situation. Sometimes you don't think about using easy onset. You don't think about of all the different techniques. You don't think about them. Sometimes, granted, I have benefited greatly from speech therapy because, for one thing, my therapist not only addressed the technical, the techniques of it, but also as far as addressing the feelings behind it. And so it's more like a, not say like, therapy thing, counseling, but it sort of was. And I think over time, coming to terms with yourself and being able to accept yourself as a stutterer and be able to say it to yourself, for one thing, not let alone to other people. For me, a big thing was just accepting it myself and admitting it without, because I didn't want to admit it. Even though I know it was very obvious, but it's like you don't want something to happen. You don't want to be a certain way, and being a little bit stubborn, you know, it took me a little while to really accept it, you know. Yeah. But once I did, it's been very helpful in my fluency.
Mm-hmm. That's also applicable to other things in their life, you know, where, you know, stutter or not, you know, people have a hard time accepting and the fact that, in this or blank or, you know, and it's usually once you admit it to yourself, then, you know, can, I guess, the quote unquote healing process can begin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I remember in our previous take on the what's now going to be called the Lost Interview, for the benefit of the listeners, we had recorded an amazing hour-long interview, and I lost it. actually, the program that I used, stupid sound editing program, completely lost it, and so we're doing take number two. And in that previous take, I believe it was you that was saying that you speak at universities about stuttering.
Yes. We as a part of my group, through group therapy, we have you have individual speech therapy where you're with a clinician one-on-one, and you have group therapy to where you're in a group with other stutterers. And just to kind of, when I first started going to group, I was terrified. Not only because now I'm in the room with other stutterers, and admittedly, I hated it when I first started doing group, because I was seeing the struggle of them speaking, and I can empathize so well. It just brought more pain for me. So, but as I got along with more group stuff, I was able to get through it, you know, and now it's better. So that kind of led into, with my speech therapist, she's works at the, I live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So we have the University of Alabama and they have a speech department. And so she teaches classes, other speech therapists about stuttering. And a lot of times, since stuttering is not that prevalent, you know, they may not see very many stutterers. And because we are a university, and we do get students who are stutterers, so we kind of have more of a we may have more people who are than the normal population. But anyway, getting into that, we go and talk to these classes about stuttering and how it is for us to deal with stuttering, how it's progressed through therapy, how, you know, just getting out there and saying you're a stutterer and talking about it, for me, is a really passion now. I really love talking about stuttering because more times than not, I don't stutter when I talk about stuttering because I love it, and I've accepted who I am about it, and it's like, okay, I want to impart, because it's like an eye-opening experience. It really is. It's like being able – I know I'm just getting so excited now.
But, yeah, I know. See?
You know, it's so it's very rewarding to me to speak to other people about stuttering and help them understand it better. But what I like about group therapy is that we get other stutterers who have never been there. And I really like to help mentor these guys or girls because, I mean, you know, I'm proud of my progress, you know, and it's been a long time coming. And there's been a lot of work involved, but I just want people to be able to really accept themselves and really feel great about themselves as a person, and getting over the stuttering, working through that is just one of the hurdles.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. When you disclose your stutter, and then suddenly, you know, you're stuttering less, you know, because you're all happy talking about it. What I experience, and I'm wondering if you experience the same thing, is then the person that you're talking to says, "Oh, but you're not stuttering now. It's fine. Oh, I think you're putting too much into it, et cetera, et cetera." Do you get the same thing?
Yes. I mean, I do, and because now it's, but see, they don't have the history. They don't know how it's been bad before. They don't, and I have told them, on our last call, I was telling you about how that I work all the time, and I'm a classic workaholic. But you know, I've been starting to get out more, advertising outside of my job, you know, in more social setting. So started going to church, and for one thing, just to go, but secondly, it's a twofold, you know, thing where I can introduce myself to people who don't know me, about that I'm a stutterer, and actually advertise it while I'm there too. And this one girl, the first time I ever, you know, had this reaction, but she was just taken back from it. She was, it's like I told her that, you know, that somebody had died or something. Wow. I mean, and she was so like, I was trying to comfort her, you know, and it was like, you know, she was worried about me, and I was like, no, I'm fine, you know, I'm okay with it now. I mean, but I just want to let you know, and this helps me telling you, it helps me, this is part of my therapy, it helps me, you know, not be so, not so worried about talking, and it lets you know more about me. And so it was kind of weird. It's like I never had that reaction before. It's like I was comforting her. And not that I want to be comforted. I don't. I just want to let them know. And so, and it helps me too. Even though if I don't stutter, I can say now going into a conversation, well, on a good day, you might not ever have a stutter, you know, in a short conversation, but, you know, that's not the point. That's still trying to hide it. And so if I go in, and I don't tell everybody, but I start telling more people, you know, and it's fine trying to work it in too.
Wow. Because that's just something that I've been pondering is, you know, how do you... like how do you work in the fact that you stutter into a conversation?
I don't have a set, you know.
Formula.
If I do this, I do this. You know.
Okay.
Wait.
Darn.
Just let me show you. Just let me send you the flow chart, you know, so you can kind of know if this happens.
Sure.
Do this.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Well, oh man,
a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. Sometimes if I start to stutter more so, I'll just, you know, stop, you know, take a deep breath, and then I'll just tell them, and I'll say, you know, hey, I'm a stutterer. You know, of course you probably already know, but I just kind of want to let you know. Or, and sometimes I'm not stuttering, you know, much at all, or I'll just somewhere in the conversation when we get to kind of know each other, I'll just say, "Oh, hey, you know, I'm a stutterer, and you know, this is, you know," and I'll tell them, "You know, no, I don't want you to feel bad about it." I mean, I kind of tell them, I explain to them why I'm telling them that.
Let's move on to your work, your line of work. I know that. One of the you know, common interests that everybody has is their diets, losing weight, or, you know, gaining muscle and all that. Would you want to spend maybe about 5 minutes talking about your day job passion?
Oh, sure. 5 minutes.
10? How about 12?
No, I'll
5 hours?
Well, you know, I do have, you know, other work to do today.
Okay.
No,
so 5 minutes it is.
5 minutes. it's great that you tell me that, because otherwise I will just ramble on.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Actually, let's begin with, sorry, I keep jumping back and forth topics, but how about this? This question just came into my mind. Did you ever have a funny moment with your stuttering on the job?
On the job, a funny moment. Oh, I laugh at myself all the time. I've had several. That's not stuttering there. My camps are outdoors, and it's been getting cold here lately, and I have trouble talking when it gets cold. So I've been having more trouble during camp the last week or so. It's. I can't think of one right off. I brought it up at camp, and you know, I don't want to just harp on it. They already know. I mean, to my clients, you know, they already know that. And I don't want to pick myself so much to where it makes it seem like I'm beating myself up, too. Because some people, let's say, for people who want to lose weight, they may be overweight, so they pick at themselves about being fat. Mm-hmm. And one of my campers, I've had to get on to her. I'm like, okay, stop laughing at yourself about being fat. Don't be making jokes about it, because it's a defense mechanism. They're expecting people to laugh at them, or they expect people to make fun, or that's what they think is going to happen. And so they already joke about it before people have time to even laugh at about it, even though if they probably wouldn't even do it anyway. And so I try not to, I'll bring it up, and if I have a funny moment, you know, I'll laugh at it, and, you know, and I'll make a little joke. But I try to be very conscious about not doing it too much, because I don't want to create that same. I don't want to be doing that to myself, even though I know I'm not doing it in a negative sort of way. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be perceived as beating myself up over my stuttering. I will bring it up, and if there's a funny moment, and I do slip up a good bit too. So I mean, there's always opportunities, but I don't always take advantage of bringing them to the forefront, just because that I don't want to seem, you know, down on myself about it.
Yeah, could you explain exactly what boot camp is?
You can have different kinds of boot camps. You can have, you know, they could be for men or women only, or they can be co-ed. They could be for athletes who are trying to get stronger, faster. They can be, now for my boot camps, they're for women only, and they're there to lose weight, to lose body fat. Typically, camps run about 3 days a week, at least 3 days a week. I have seen people run for 5 days a week, but I feel that if we go three days per week, and you can do some other type of activity on two more days a week, so you're going 5 days a week doing something, then you know you can. So they're walking or biking or maybe doing some swimming or on the elliptical. They're doing something outside of camp too, on days that they're not with me, just so they're keeping active. Now, granted, the first week or so is pretty difficult, and so they're trying just to walk the next day or to even get there. So they're probably not going to be doing something the very first week. They're just trying to recuperate. But after about the second week or so, I would encourage people to make sure that they're walking or doing some type of other cardiovascular, you know, exercise outside of camp, because, you know, granted the camps are very difficult, they're hard, but, you know, it's just better if you do some on the outside of camp too. And mainly the camps that I run, they're interval training. They're more like circuits, so we have different stations, and they're based off of time limits. And so that if someone can do 50 push-ups in a minute and somebody can do only 10, they're still working hard as they can for the whole minute. If some people may need to rest more so to even do more, but it's based off of time rather than a number of reps. And that's how I can train people at different fitness levels, because some people may do more, some people may do less, and I can make it harder too for people who are who've been there. I have people there who are in their fifth month now, and so you know, they're going to be a lot further along than someone who just started, and so it's making exercises harder without weight. You can make things harder without adding weight to them, especially for women too. Women don't want to get bulky. They want to build muscle, but they don't want to get huge arms. They don't want to get huge thighs. They want to be toned. They want to look good. They don't want to have to try to buy new pants because the legs are getting too big. It's just a different kind of training, I can train people of different fitness levels, and being in a group, we're with women who are just like them. Most of my clients are probably in their middle to late 40s to middle 50s, and I do have some that are younger, but that's typically my client base, and they're all there about the same age. They're all there, and they support each other, and they get out there and they cheer people on, and it's really a good environment for them to not only get a quick workout. Our workouts are 45 minutes long, but you're going, from the time you're there to the time you leave, and then we have 15 minutes of stretching and cool down. And so it's a good environment as far as accountability of coming, plus it's a good environment to help motivate each other. And it's quick. It's not just going in there and lifting a barbell or dumbbells, for just my reps, and sit down and talk for a minute or two. And, it goes by quickly. And that's what they really like about it.
Oh, wow. See, that's something that's severely lacking in the gym, because I'm the one that does, push the barbell for a bit, stop, push the barbell again. But there's nobody there. I'm just laughing now, just picturing everybody in the gym stopping what they're doing, turning around, looking at me, and going, "Cheer on, come on, you can do it." Because that would never happen in that situation. But I should try a boot camp. I've been meaning to try them, but I never realized that there was that team spirit, motivation, etc. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and it depends on the structure and what kind of the way I run my camps is going to be different than the way somebody else runs their camps, But the whole point is, you have some people who are more towards a Marine. I'm not saying not Marine, but more towards more hardcore boot camp. My camps are hard, but I'm not going to treat them the same way as I would treat, like Marines or firefighters or cops or things like that, because they're more geared towards they're wired differently. Yeah. They love pain, They get up. They love challenge, and you can't treat them the same way as you do middle-aged women.
Yeah, this reminds me. Go on.
No, that's fine.
Oh yeah, mentioning firefighters. This reminds me of when I was in Paris last year. I was walking through this really beautiful park in front of the Louvre, and suddenly I see a group of firefighters training. They were jogging while carrying each other on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So picture, say, 10 guys, so you have 5 guys jogging, and they're holding someone on their... And they're jogging up and down stairs, hills, mm-hmm. while doing this. And I'm like, holy Max.
Yeah.
So I think that's one type of boot camp.
Yeah, and but see, that transfers over into their daily life, because
yes.
they're going to be saving people, and they need to be able to take people and pick them up and run up and down stairs with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about my camps or any boot camp is doing a functional training, and functional training basically is being able to carry that strength over into daily life. If you're doing, let's say, on a machine and you're lifting this weight at a specific angle, you know, you're going to develop that strength lifting that weight at that angle, at that speed that you're lifting it at. Mm-hmm. And so if you were to go pick up something, you'll still be stronger, but it may not transfer over. If you were to pick it off the ground, let's say if you're outside and you pick up something off the ground and you lift it, you curl it, you push it over your head, that's going to be more practical to try to
yes.
transfer that over into daily life if you're going to be at home. And so these women, or most people, they're not bodybuilders. Or they're not wanting to get huge, and they want to be able to look good. They want to be able to play with their kids, their grandkids. They want to be able to do things that they want to do and have the energy to do it outside of work. And so they have a better quality of life, and that's what you want. And so, do that, doing some kind of functional training, even if you're not in a boot camp, you can do these things in a gym. Although there's not really depending on your gym, you may be the odd one out. People are like, what is he doing over there?
Yeah.
You know? And at first, I didn't do it because of that, because I would go to the gym sometimes, and I would, you know, but then I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. If anything, they'll say, what are you doing? And then I may get a client from it. So, you know, so.
Speaking in terms of your dietitianness, mm-hmm. I guess your yep. dietitian background, have you ever... I guess studied or researched or specialized in or whatever the term is that I'm searching for, how food affects stuttering. The reason that I'm asking is I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend who stutters, and he says that he noticed, he also goes to the gym, and he notices that when he eats shrimp, for example, he notices that he stutters more. When he takes in a lot of protein, he noticed that his stuttering increases the next day. Have you ever run into something like that with your own, like, I guess it's your own experience or in your studies?
With stuttering, and I've looked, and I have done extensive, because I'm taking a break off from school, and I'm looking, I am looking into research for my dissertation. I'm not in school right now, but I'm halfway through my doctorate, and so I'm looking for things to research. And I thought, what would be great if I could get some stutterers, you know, and let's kind of test, you know, different workouts or different foods and stuff. And I was just looking at, you know, to see if it helps stuttering. And
okay.
I was looking at the research, and I couldn't hardly find any research on diet and stuttering. And maybe I was not looking in the right places, but I just did a brief preliminary, you know, just a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find, you know, any a whole lot on it. And but I can, from my experience, I know for me, and it may not be for everybody, but you know, for me, caffeine. of course, I'm somewhat allergic to caffeine anyway.
Oh.
I say allergic to it, but I can't. I have trouble breathing whenever I drink it. So, And I didn't know this until it took me a while to even figure it out because I didn't drink them that much, soft drinks. And, you know, it took me a little while to actually put two and two together. But when I did, I eventually got off of it. So, yeah, it's good to be, to be able to breathe well while watching TV. you think, what is wrong with me? I work outside, I exercise a ton, I don't smoke, I should be able to breathe pretty good, and it took me a few months to really put two and two together, and it's been 7 years ago now since I've been off of caffeine, it's been great because I can't handle it. I mean, not only in terms of, the breathing aspect of it, but it just... I'm hyperactive anyway, and it sort of just makes my, you think you have anxiety about speaking, you put caffeine in yourself and you just kind of, it's horrible. For me, artificial sweeteners, even, I said, I don't do caffeine, but I even, do like sometimes, say a few times a year, I'll have a diet caffeine free, Coke or Pepsi or something like that. And it's usually when I'm coming back from visiting my parents for some reason. I'm not sure why, but and I find that even drinking those artificial sweeteners, I feel funny. I don't feel, I can feel a noticeable difference in it. And, that and sandwich meat, like cured, turkey or ham.
Yeah.
I can't hardly, I have trouble breathing or I have trouble speaking, when I eat that. I guess for a lot of processed stuff, for me is, maybe I'm just more sensitive to it, but to me, it's not a good thing. So
you're a very healthy eater then.
Well, it's kind of like it's mandatory.
yeah, true.
It's like, I need not eat this because I can speak good. I need to eat this so I can breathe well. I need to eat this so. So in a sense, I'm blessed. somebody who can eat it. And not have the effects of it immediately, don't keep on eating it. But for me, I can't do it. So, or I can do it and feel horrible. So I guess in some ways you can look at it as being good.
Oh yeah. Okay. So where can people find your website?
Right now, the website is www.womensfitcamp.com. That's womensfitcamp.com. That's my Fit Camp website. I haven't gotten my other site up and running, so that's what they'll have to go to for now. Okay. And when they go there, they can sign up for I've done a video e-course now, and you can get the free video demonstrations and also the workouts too.
Wow!
So I did that one day. I was telling you about my freaky fat loss pumpkin boot camp that we had. And during one of the little breaks, I recorded one of my friends recorded me doing exercises. So we decided to make a little exercise e-course out of it. I was telling you about in the last few months, I've started to advertise my stuttering, and that's been very helpful because not only it's been. Because it is you have reduced anxiety about speaking, and one of the things I've been doing is some visualization, and gratitude, and affirmations.
Yeah.
So basically, being grateful everybody can be grateful for something. And, you know, no matter how, you know, bad your life is going on as far as other things besides stuttering or just stuttering itself, you know, you can always find things to be grateful for and focus on things, find the positive in it, you know. And most, looking at some research, you know, on stuttering, I even talked with some other clinicians, is most people, most stutterers, if you talk with themselves, if you're talking to yourself, usually you're fluent or you talk a lot better than you do if you're talking with other people. Mm-hmm. So you may not be fluent, but you can talk a lot better usually. And so look at that as saying, hey, you know, I can speak well, even though it's to myself, you know, so you can do it. It's just a matter of translating that into talking with other people. So it's not that you can't. It's just that maybe you haven't gotten used to talking with other people, you know, and just it's going to take more and more practice. So always look for the good in everything. There's always some good. There's always something that you can be grateful for. And just do that every night before you go to bed. Think and so you have some positive. And also look at and the visualization. What I do is if I have things that I have to do the next day, I'll make a list of what I need to do. And then I'll actually go in my mind and I'll see myself doing those things well. So if I'm having to go speak to somebody or some group, well, I'll see myself going up to the group and introduce myself and I'm speaking well. I'm comfortable. I feel myself, you know, and just go ahead and just feel that, you know, and go ahead and see yourself being successful at it. And the mind is a powerful thing. And just because, and then if you believe it, you know, chances are it's going to, it may take some time, but just keep believing, you know, and keep being positive about it. And that's going to help out a whole lot as far as your stuttering. Affirmations, that's getting back into, when I first started doing these, I started saying, well, I am a fluent speaker. Well, you know, well, but I am at times, you know, but yeah. There's times that I'm not. And so so sometimes it's just a word. It may be, I say, well, you know, I can speak to people with ease, or I can speak to people, or I am a good communicator. Because sometimes we think that even though people stutter, they can still be a good communicator. They can still get their point across in a way. And so just because they stutter does not mean that they can't communicate well. And so it's a way of wording it to where it's in a positive light. And you have to make these up yourself because, you know, you have to make it feel right for you. But these are things that I find that are helpful. And I was reading the story. It was about they did a study. You know, I think it was back in the 70s or so. And they took one group of basketball players. And they practiced every day. Huh?
Yeah, I remember this story.
Yeah, and they practice every day. I forget how often, but that they practice. And then it took one. It was free throws. They practiced free throws, and then they took the other group and they practiced for the same amount of time only in their mind. And they would shoot their free throws and make them every single time in their mind. And this other group, they didn't practice at all. Well, of course, the group that didn't practice at all didn't get any better. But the group who practiced, they increased their percentage 24% as far as the number of free throws that they made. And the people who did it just in their mind increased 23%. So it's just as effective to really, you know, practice in your mind what you want to happen. And so if you think about, hey, I'm going to stutter, hey, I'm going to mess up on this, and a lot of times you do it anyway, you know, you're creating this. And so stepping back, not saying that you're going to be perfect. I'm not perfect either, you know, with my speaking, but, you know, it's just taking, you know, the time to really start to get out of the rut of beating yourself up about stuttering. Don't, you know, don't be handling yourself about it, about how bad you are. Look at what you do right. Look at what you do well, and really start to visualize what you want. And if you want to keep stuttering, you know, then you'll visualize yourself stuttering. And I'm not saying trying to be, you know, I'm just trying to really, the power of the mind is so powerful. And, you know, being able to really start training it to be, it's just mind training, you know, and this has helped me out a whole lot in the last few months. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, because each step I've made in my little journey towards speaking better, you know, where I'm at today, it's been baby steps. You know, it hasn't been overnight. Mm-hmm. But you keep doing it. You know, Jack Canfield, I was reading Chicken Soup for the Soul, and he says, you know, you can go from, you know, wherever you are, let's say, well, in Toronto, I think that's where you're based out of. You can drive, let's say, from Toronto to New York City, you know, with your headlights on, and you can only see, you know, 200 feet ahead of you. So you don't know, you can only see that far. But if you keep going, you keep driving, you're going to get there. And so a lot of times we can't see where we're going, how it's going to pan out, but we can just keep going that extra 200 feet or that keep going, keep pushing forward, keep progressing, still doing, you know, doing your gratitude, your visualizations, your affirmations. If you're going on speech therapy, you know, do that. Find out what works best for you. But it's changing the way you think about yourself as a stutterer, and that's going to help out a whole lot as far as being able to speak better.
Wow, sounds like something that like an untapped medical procedure, for lack of a better term, to try out. Sounds like another branch of positive thinking.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very effective thing to try.
Yeah, this is part of, you know, personal development, you know, self-growth, self-improvement type marketing that's out there now, that they're just taking that and applying it, and it can apply to anybody regardless of your situation. You know, you're always going to be trying to deal with something, you know, or trying to struggle with something. And you know, it's and I've seen improvements already, you know, in terms of, you know, seeing what I want and going out and getting it, you know. And some things are taking longer, but, you know, it's amazing, because if you're in that mindset of, you know, being positive, and you have it in the forefront, and you're on a mission to do something, you'll be aware of opportunities for you to succeed in it. If you're not aware of, like, what you want to do, you know, if an opportunity comes and hits you right on the head, you may not even see it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're really knowing what you want and being aware of it, you can see opportunities that can help you, you know, not only with stuttering, but just in life in general. And so, you know, that's just something that I wanted to share, things that have been helpful for me. And, you know, take it from somebody who's been at the bottom, the very, very bottom, who 10 years ago, who was thinking about ending his own life because of stuttering and not really wanting to do anything, not really wanting to live, to having a little bit of hope that it might get better, that little bit of hope that it might, what if I miss out on something, you know, and that little bit of hope, you know, and it's taken years to get better, but, I mean, haven't talked about that much, but I just want to tell people who are out there who may be in that bottom right now, who feel like there's no way out, you know, that there is. Just keep going, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just keep working, because it's, you know, I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to say, you know, just don't give up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for not giving up and succeeding in, you know where you are today.
Yeah.
I'm just coming back from the gym. I did a fantastic leg workout, if I do say so myself. If you have any questions about stuttering, in particular from my listeners who don't stutter, I know I have listeners who don't stutter, send them in. And I will answer them in a future episode, a very soon future episode. And that was bad grammar.
Stuttering is Cool is produced by myself, Daniela Rossi, here in Toronto, Canada. You can call in at +1 206 984 3922 and leave a message. You can also record an MP3 file on your computer and email it to coolstutter@gmail.com. Your third option is by going to stutteringiscool.com and look for the orange mobile talk button. The instructions are there telling you how you can leave a message by recording through the microphone on your computer. Stuttering is Cool is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported License. I can't believe I said that without stuttering. All the irony of it all. See the website for details. Ciao.